Well, the story that's going to affect everybody is the heat. The heat is on this week as we close out August. We're looking at temperatures in the mid-90s and feels like readings that'll be in excess of 100 in some cases.
AccuWeather's numbers on Tuesday, a high of 94, Wednesday, high of 93, Thursday, high of 87. So that's like cool. And then on Friday, 91. Wow.
And we are anticipating in the midst of all of that some heavy thunderstorm potential too, but not early today. That may come later. Today is a Code Orange Action Air Quality Day, which means if you have respiratory issues, you're being advised to basically take it easy. That said, this heat will affect schools. Pittsburgh Public Schools expecting 37 schools to be on half-day programs tomorrow. And we'll get more details on that, Paul. So many of our schools in that school district do not have air conditioning.
Yikes.
Or have limited.
And you mentioned earlier this morning that your son was working in a really hot building as
yesterday,
a teacher at PPS. Yeah,
without air conditioning. And that was yesterday when we didn't quite hit 90. In fact, I looked at one point, I was saying, man, is it hot? And my car thermometer said 84 degrees. And I thought, well, it's going to be 10 degrees hotter than this tomorrow. And that said, we haven't had the worst of it this summer. Places in the Southwest have had extreme heat and 110 plus degrees, but it's our turn this week, and we'll keep you posted. But again, there will be 37 schools on a half-day program starting tomorrow. What exactly does a half-day program mean? That already throws a fly in the ointment for parents who are trying to readjust to a back-to-school schedule.
Isn't it interesting the things that we consider a problem today when we go back to when you and I were kids? Air conditioning was, you know, scarce, right?
Hit or miss, yeah.
I was born in a hospital without air conditioning on July 22nd. Back in that year, it was the hottest day of the year, 102 degrees. My poor mother, I don't know what she went through.
By the way, the big K,
I know what she went through after that, but...
Well, I don't want to go down that road. Presented by Galise Services, visit galise.com. And yesterday, the focus of this investigation that is ongoing, led by United States Congressman Mike Kelly, with their visit with his bipartisan team of lawmakers that were at the Butler Farm Show area, the site of the July 13th assassination attempt. And Marty Griffin spoke with Mike Kelly about a potential motive. Do we know any more now than we did before?
Not enough that we can actually make heads or tails of. I want to see. There's more to it than I haven't seen yet. The FBI actually did have sessions with parents. They know more about it, but I need to have a clear idea, and the American people need to have a clear idea. Who was this person?
Right. And they have till December, I guess, to file their official report. So since Mike Kelly was a eyewitness that day, and obviously represents the area.
Yeah, home turf, right?
He wants to make sure they get it right.
I also want to say that the theme that I picked up on repeatedly yesterday from almost everyone who was interviewed or spoke publicly was they were emphasizing the non-political or bipartisan effort that they're trying to make, which I hope it works out that way.
Oh, well, I certainly appreciate that. As a citizen, I just want to know what happened.
Right.
Period.
Yeah, we don't want another Warren Commission report that gets questioned and all the conspiracy theories, right?
No, this is, you know, for all of us and for future. And to their point, some of the other lawmakers that spoke, the congressman from Colorado said, look, we want people to be able to have free speech and speak their mind in their political parties and without worry about with the protection that mm-hmm. is provided being adequate. So it'll be a while, I think, before we get the final report.
And for me, it all comes down to the radios, Larry, that it, at least based on what I know now, it all comes down to the radios. Local law enforcement provided radios for the Secret Service. They reminded them to pick them up the day before the event. It didn't happen.
Well, that alone would explain at least anecdotally why they didn't know or claim they didn't hear that there was somebody on a roof with a gun. I mean,
and for the reason they weren't picked up, who knows what that could be? There could be any one of a number of reasons, a couple of them very good. You just don't know. But it would seem to me that having a radio to give you a link with local law enforcement would be absolutely critical when you're only covering part of an area where there's an outdoor event.
Bottom line is, we'll find out who was responsible, but in future, we want to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Absolutely
obviously.
Right. Yep.
And speaking of politics, there is a debate about the debate between Trump and Harris scheduled for September 10th on ABC, which, yes, by the way, we will carry live.
They're arguing over whether microphone should be muted, Larry, except for the candidate whose turn it is to speak. This is CBS News political director Finn Gomez.
That second debate during the 2020 cycle, mm-hmm, there was that backlash where he essentially jumped all over Biden. And essentially, you saw that in the aftermath of that debate. And so they see that as maybe a political advantage to them. This is a new position, though, from the Harris campaign. This was not part of the Biden team initial negotiations. The Trump campaign is saying, look, we agree to the CNN debate rules, the now infamous CNN debate from June 27th, right? Mm-hmm. But like, this is, we're going back to that model. Like, you're the ones who are changing this.
Right. Biden's campaign insisted on muted mics for the first debate, right, and now the Harris campaign wants to turn them on. And I can tell you why. Because if he starts interrupting her, she's going to give him what she gave in the vice presidential debate against Pence. I'm speaking now. That's what they want.
Well, that's what it's down to at the moment.
So, I mean, they're haggling over that. Well, just go with the muted mics and let's have a debate.
I think they're going to end up, you know, sorting this out. Bottom line is, there appears that there will be a debate on September 10th.
I just don't want to set them up for bickering. That's what I don't want. And that's what we didn't have in the last debate, right?
No, and we had no audience. So there was no...
Right.
Chants or boos or
and no
cheers.
Name calling, you know.
Yeah, if we can just get to the facts, let's hear what the candidates have to say.
Actually, we might hear something about the issues for a change.
We'll see. We'll see. September 10th, it'll be, if it goes, and it looks like it will, I would imagine there'll be high interest, much like a heavyweight fight.
I would say the ratings would be well in excess of the first debate, and that was watched by millions.
We will see. We'll cover it here on the Big K Morning Show, The Post, and we'll be airing it live on September 10th here on KDKA. The Big K Big Three, presented by Galise Services. Visit galise.com. One News Radio KDKA, Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. A lot going on this weekend. One of the things is the Pittsburgh Renaissance Festival. Now through the end of September, this comes every year. It's seriously, when you hear that, I was looking, Paul, for that trumpet. You know, the one they...
What,
for the Ren Festival.
Oh, right, yeah.
Let me say this.
I can't come up with that. I'm not even going to try.
No, that ain't it. I got to get
it's
the
It's close,
original.
Though.
Yeah. Anyway, we got a family pack of four tickets to give you right now. 412-922-1020. Caller number 7-412-922-1020. You'll get a four-pack of tickets to the Pittsburgh Renaissance Festival weekends through September. And you'll enjoy that if you've never been. It's a fun thing. And we'll tell you more about what's happening on the North Shore this weekend. Starting on Thursday, it's the Rib Fest presented by Icy Light right there on Rooney, rocking on Rooney. At Acrisure Stadium.
It keeps getting bigger, it seems, every year.
Oh, they draw rib vendors from around the country. It's a big deal. So if you have a chance over the weekend, check that out. Of course, Pitt plays on Saturday at noon at Acrisure.
Kent State, the supposedly sacrificial lambs of the beginning of the season, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get a look at that offense that Pitt has been tinkering with in the offseason, this high-paced, up-tempo offense.
Yeah, some cases they will, between snaps, now think about this, when the whistle blows to end the play, in some cases they will be lined up and ready to snap the ball in as fast as 7 seconds.
My goodness.
Which is completely different from where we were before. So we'll see how that works out. Cade Bell is the young man who had the most prolific offense in the country at Western Michigan last year with this up-tempo. And if it works here, he'll be a hero. We'll see. I wanted to mention something as a footnote to the Democratic National Convention. So the DNC surprise guest was supposed to be Beyonce, right? But it wasn't. You know what it was? COVID.
Oh, that's right. I read an article about this last night. They had, and there was a lot of mask wearing at the event.
Along with all the free swag, there were t-shirts, mugs. A lot of attendees also came home with a fever and nasty cold. According to tweets, the United Center was packed to the rafters, which could have put 20,000 folks per night at risk for COVID.
At a time when cases are going up.
They are. I'm hearing more and more people say, hey, so-and-so, I know, tested positive for COVID. I mean, you just went through this.
I know.
A couple of weeks ago,
right? Completely out of left field. I mean, and I, like you, I take all the precautions necessary, I would think.
Yeah, you've been smart about it without being crazy about it.
No, I mean, I get, you know, I'm keeping up on the vaccines because I have comorbidities that make me a little susceptible. But what they told me was, and I would buy into this, is that the new variant has figured a way around the vaccines, and so we'll get an updated one in the fall.
The concern now is back to school, so there's new protocols and the details of. So if that happens, what are you supposed to do as a parent, right?
Talk about having your world upended. Let's say your kid comes home sick and they have COVID, and then you got, you know, your work problems and
just throws a wrench into.
Man, I tell you what, parents with children right now, school age children, I have a lot of sympathy for them right now.
Yeah, we will be giving you the details of that this week too, about what you can anticipate, and then what do you do?
Keep enjoying life. That's one thing.
Well, we learned that. You got to keep moving, right? This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen, and back to school. A lot of conversations going on. We mentioned COVID. We're going to get an update for you this morning on what the new protocols are as kids are back in school and obviously mixing it up with a lot of other kids, which traditionally just brings home a lot of bacteria anyway.
I mean, you know,
viruses.
Who doesn't get a cold at least once or twice? And, you know,
well, usually what happens, the kids go to school, they mix it up, and then they come back to the home. And
you have a picnic, and like grandma or grandpa winds up with the cold, right?
Right. And big lot of picnics coming up on Sunday, obviously, with the Labor Day weekend ahead. So we'll get you the new protocol information and kind of a status where we are right now in the region. Meanwhile, the debate over the debate. CBS's Jared Hill.
The big issue now, at least according to the former president, is the network that would be hosting the debate. But there's also this question about one rule in particular.
Thank you.
Former President Donald Trump casting doubt on his first debate with Vice President Kamala Harris just 2 weeks before the two were set to go head-to-head.
I said, why am I doing it? Let's do it with another network. I want to do it.
Trump slamming the debate's host network as Harris pushes for change of her own. Her campaign writing, Trump's handlers prefer the muted microphone because they don't think their candidate can act presidential for 90 minutes on his own. It was an arrangement made during the only debate between Trump and President Biden. Yesterday, the former president suggested he'd have no problem with the switch.
It doesn't matter to me. I'd rather have it probably on.
Also yesterday, Trump sought to tie Harris to the attack that killed 13 troops at Kabul airport 3 years ago during the Biden administration's chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan. He laid a wreath at Arlington National Cemetery and campaigned in Michigan.
The humiliation in Afghanistan set off the collapse of American credibility.
Harris released a statement saying those who died in the Kabul attack represented the best of America. She's believed to be preparing for the debate this week while surrogates hit the campaign trail Monday.
Kamala is going to help America's working families, America's middle class.
Later this week, Harris heads to Georgia, while Trump will be campaigning in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania.
Harris's team says they think that the microphone issue is now settled, but we still got to see if both of these folks show up on September 10th. Meanwhile, the two VP candidates are set to debate here on CBS News on October 1st.
And we will carry that live here on KDK from ABC.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to get in this right away. This man left something out of this report. It's a real misinformation. President Biden's campaign made muting the microphones a condition.
Right. Well, he said
he didn't say that.
He said that Trump was okay with they're the ones that are like, you don't have to mute the mics, so they were good either way. So it sounds like Well, he did say Harris.
The Trump campaign wants to go with the rules as they were, you know, that they arrived with the Biden campaign. It's Harris campaign that wants to turn them on.
Yeah,
that's what the dispute is over.
But he said, no, he was good with it either way. Trump said, yeah, I'm good with it either way.
I'm just pointing out that President Biden's campaign made muting the microphones mics a condition for the first debate.
And that debate
was not clear in the report.
Ancient history.
I just red flags go up with me when I hear network reporting that doesn't nail it.
Well, at this point, it's a mute point.
Right.
So, literally, it sounds like there will be a debate again September 10th, and we will air that in its entirety.
Do you think it's
going to
happen? Really?
I do. Why wouldn't it at this point? I mean, if that's the only hanging point, there's no way that the Harris campaign could not do it just because of the muted mic question. And again, they're the ones that don't want the mics muted. See details of the silliness.
Don't you think that, you know, that the Harris campaign feels very confident in her ability to go toe-to-toe with the mics on, right?
Much better than they did with Joe Biden, which is why they asked for the mics to be muted.
I think you're right.
So,
because all along I was thinking that it was just to keep them from bickering, but you know what? I think you're right.
I think at this point, it should return to what we have known prior to the muted mics. We didn't really have that very often, and I don't know.
What would you prefer? I would prefer muted mics in a discussion of the issues.
Yeah, but you're not going to stop, you know, one and the other, and we'll see. I mean, that's what it'll make it interesting, because you don't know exactly, because we don't know. Really, if you have to go back to Kamala Harris in the debate against Joe Biden with about 500 other people at the time, remember them all on stage?
Oh, man, what a mess that was.
So that nobody could get anything in that made sense in that situation. Yeah. So one-on-one with unmuted mics.
I mean, if you're asking several, you know, tens of millions, multiple millions of people in America who are going to vote, who tune in to see the debate, you know, to devote their time to it. Don't you think you owe them the opportunity to hear a discussion on the issues?
Yeah, but I do like no audience.
I do too.
It doesn't need, we don't need the distraction. Let's just hear the candidates, let them speak, let them talk about the issues and take it from there. And then people can decide if it changes their minds, if it doesn't. You know, a lot of people didn't think the last debate would be anything significant, and it turned out to be the downfall of Joe Biden, and right after that debate, until he dropped out of the race, nobody necessarily saw that coming in short order.
No, I certainly didn't. So, total surprise, a shocker.
All right, we're going to check in with AccuWeather coming up next because of the heat, and the heat is on. Yeah, we're looking at a very, very hot week and unsettled weekend, I guess, at least in part. So step us through what we can expect here over the next few days.
If we can get to 90 today, which seems like a shoo-in, that would be number 20 for 2024. And I know Paul asked the question yesterday, is this close to a record? I think the record was 39 days of 90-degree heat. That was back in 1988. That was a big drought summer. If you remember that spring and summer, it was just an expansive drought all across the Ohio Valley and into the Midwest. And we had day after day after day after day of 90-degree heat, really in two big runs, late June into early July, then another one in August. Those were the core of it. But today, just a couple of days of 90-degree heat, then it backs down. Today looks like it's mostly a rain-free day with sun and some clouds. Could be a thunderstorm tonight, but it stays warm and sticky. I don't think we drop below 70. Better chance for a heavier thunderstorm late tomorrow night. That's with one front trying to come through the area. It kind of falls apart, but there's enough momentum that at least it cuts into the heat for Thursday. It's still humid with temperatures in the mid-80s, and then one more front approaches on Friday, so we get into the upper 80s to almost 90 then. Then as that front comes through Saturday, it'll produce a couple of showers and a thunderstorm and hopefully drier weather for Sunday and Monday.
Joe, I remember the summer of 1988 so clearly. I flew to Memphis for a job interview, got off a plane at 10 p.m. The temperature was 104 degrees late July.
Yeah, I remember that summer very, very well. Here in State College, where I am, we had never had a run of 90-degree heat more than 9 days in a row. We blasted that out of the water with 15 in a row, culminated by a 102-degree day at the very end of it. And then later that summer, we had another 9-day stretch of 90-degree heat. It was just wild. I mean, you'd see 96, 97 degrees and not a cloud in the sky, and that never happened.
Well, I don't remember 1988. I was an infant then, but you boys go ahead, reminisce. All right, stay.
You wee young lad then.
Yes, stay cool, Joe. Thank you.
Yes, beat the heat. Stay hydrated and keep it easy today.
All right. Meteorologist Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather's World Headquarters on the Big K Morning Show. Looking ahead to the weekend, it's a big one, the Labor Day weekend. Starts also football season, kickoff and rib festival presented by Icy Light Thursday through Labor Day on Monday at Acrisure Stadium. Admission is free. National rib vendors, they get a lot of free concerts. And you can visit acrisurestadium.com/ribfest and join us for the Labor Day weekend. You got the Clarks playing. You've got all these rib vendors from around the country. And, of course, Saturday at noon, Pitt hosts Kent State in the college football opener for the University of Pittsburgh. And
what's the weather looking like for that?
Joe's saying it's still hot into Saturday, and we can have some shower activity, but it should dry up for the rest of the weekend, hopefully by later in the day, Saturday or Sunday and Monday. So, you know, but
between the news of the Steelers making their cuts, their final cuts today, the first of the college games played last weekend, I'm getting football fever.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching a game that counts, because these preseason games only give you a micro glimpse of what you can see. And it's really hard, especially for fans, let alone coaches, to evaluate everything and tell you where this team's going to be. Coming up.
Well, I just wanted to say, dress cool for the game, Larry.
In fact,
you'll be on the sidelines. It's going to be hot down there.
Yeah, and it might rain. So yesterday, Pat McAfee, who grew up in Plum, graduated Plum High School. He's a Plum Mustang. Kicker in the NFL after his stint as West Virginia's kicker back in the day, had Bill Carr on. Ask him about the quarterbacks. So here's what Coach Cowher said to Pat McAfee about the Steelers situation at quarterback.
Has anyone distinguished themselves? Yeah, you see a lot of the flash plays with Justin Fields, but we also see an offense that's trying to also get their feet under the ground. And I think they are going to be wanting to run the football. But I think with Russell Wilson, you start the season with Russell. I say it for this reason. Justin Fields, all of a sudden you need a spark, something to kind of get your offense going again. Put him in. If you have to take Russell out, he's been there before. It's not going to destroy his confidence. I don't want to start Justin Fields and then feel like I have to make a change and I take him out. I would worry about, okay, all of a sudden I didn't live up to the expectation. Limit the expectation you put on Justin Fields. Let him be Justin Fields. Let him get to know this offense and get really comfortable with this offense. I would take the pressure off of Justin, start Russell, and Russell may take it and run with it.
Hall of Fame Steelers former coach Bill Cowher.
You know what? I remember now listening to Coach Cowher just then. Remember back when the Cowboys in the 70s would have Roger Staubach and Craig Morton in and out of the game, the same game. Maybe that's an option for them. Maybe they're thinking about that.
Well, guess what? That's what Pitt's going to do with their two quarterbacks, too, to start.
I was thinking about that.
Found that out officially yesterday from head coach Pat Narduzzi. Joe Pitt.